Hello, and welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Anxiety Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Melanie Tonia Evans, a global narcissistic abuse recovery expert and the creator of the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. Melanie's leading-edge healing methods have helped thousands of people make astounding full recoveries from toxic relationship abuse. Her work has now touched the lives of over 15 million people from more than 130 countries worldwide. And her abuse recovery system is recommended by doctors, psychologists, therapists, and renowned relationship experts from all over the world. Melanie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Megan, it's a joy to be with you, and thank you for having me.
So Melanie, I'd love if you could start by telling us about your experience with anxiety within your narcissistic relationships.
Yes, well, anxiety is huge with narcissistic relationships, and 100% it happened to me to the point of a complete psychotic and adrenal breakdown because the anxiety, the complicated post-traumatic stress disorder was so bad. But, you know, why it's happening is because narcissists really threaten the four pillars of our inner identity foundation, which is love. We feel unloved. We feel unworthy of love. Approval, because we're being devalued and discredited and demonized and discarded and abandoned so regularly. Security, because everything that you know around you that has been your life starts to be under threat. And literal survival, because you really don't know how you're going to survive the relationship. You feel like if you leave the relationship that you may not survive because the narcissist may abuse by proxy and also go after all of your security and your money, your property, the children. So anxiety is a huge thing, and 100% I did suffer from it.
Yeah, and I'd love if you could talk about that just a little bit more in the, you know, because the things that you named, you know, worthiness, love, approval, security, survival, those are things, even if we, because most people don't understand, you correct me if I'm wrong, but most people don't see kind of the machinations of a narcissist because it can be, it can add up so slowly over time that they don't realize, like, as you said, that panic, the anxiety, the adrenal fatigue and stress, they're not putting two and two together, that their very survival is what's trying to send their body signals that they're in danger.
Completely and utterly. And Megan, I love how you say people don't see it. One of the biggest reasons why they don't see it is because, let's say a narcissist is your parent, and even as you grow up as a wounded adult child, because you've had a narcissistic parent, that person is supposed to represent those pillars of love, approval, survival, and security. Okay, now let's just park that for a second and we'll go to like a romantic relationship. If we haven't realized that we've come from codependent or narcissistic family backgrounds, we're still not healed up into solidness, we're still unconsciously seeking that love, approval, survival, and security from outside of ourselves. And a narcissist is very, very intuitively capable of working out what makes you tick and appearing to be that person. So the narcissist will show up in your life in a romantic situation potential as, I see you and I hear you. I don't cheat on people. I'm completely monogamous. You deserve to be loved. You're such an amazing person. You know, I am looking all bright and shiny and strong and secure and successful in the world. So they work out where you actually have that latent or already activated anxiety, they pretend to be the savior of it. And this person is not coming into your life to provide you with yourself. Rather, they are entering your life to exploit and mine you and empty you out of your emotional energy and your resources.
And that can, I mean, most people aren't aware of the previous programming, if you will, that they've brought into their adult relationships from their families of origin. It takes us a long time to kind of come to those realizations, for good, for better, or for worse. It takes us some emotional maturity and some growth to say, like, oh, hey, I kind of see like my role in the family and how other people's, you know, maturity or ego or narcissism kind of played into all of that. So I love how you said it, that those mm-hmm. things can all play into what you're seeking, and the narcissist is going to recognize that and exploit it and just like suck you dry of the will to live, if you will.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And it's so true, Megan, that, and even if this is what I found fascinating about my journey, because I'd done a lot of psychology and a lot of reading, and I'd had a lot of cognitive therapy, which I talk about from the chin up. So I really understood, and I'd read a million books, and I really did understand that I did have wounds of abandonment, and I did have fears of not being able to, you know, look after myself, even though I was successful in the world, which is a dichotomy, because a lot of people targeted by narcissists appear to be very capable and functional and resourceful. And narcissists go after that because there's a lot of stuff to give. But on an emotional level, we're still not solid and whole, but we think it's our normal and we think that's the way to go. And this was me in life. I just thought, well, this is life and this is how I am. And conceptually, I know what's going on here, so I'm going to be okay. But, and that was the irony, was that's when I got the big bad wolf. I got the narcissist in my life, and he did appear to be everything I wanted. But there were, of course, warning signs, but I didn't want to default. I didn't want to go to, oh, you're not what I want you to be. So that's, but, you know, the thing about the anxiety is because we have got that unhealed stuff that we think is our normal, and even though we might have done so much, well, we think it's work on ourselves from the chin up. And that's why I love my community and the work we do, because we actually get to the core root of it and heal it from there, which is what I did. But this anxiety that's already there, and they rip the wound. We think, we feel like the person in the desert that finally found the oasis and we've landed home and it feels like home, but then the rug gets pulled out and you're under more stress and drama and pain and heartbreak and despair that you've ever been in your life. So your anxiety is just blown up to epic proportions when you're with a narcissist.
And I imagine, because, you know, as you and I have discussed many times, it doesn't necessarily start that way, right? Like, you're getting all the things that you think you need. They're going to love bomb you, and they're going to say all the things that you really need to hear, and they're going to decipher what your wounds are and put a balm on all of them and give you what you think you need. And then
absolutely
take it away and manipulate you. And you spend your whole time kind of like trying to do things right, trying to be right so you can get that particular person back, the person that did all those things and felt that way and manipulated you in that way. And exactly. And talk about anxiety, right?
Oh, look, exactly. Because you've landed where you think is home. And this is the interesting thing about a false self and a false source. Like, they become our God. And the whole big spiritual lesson in this is, because this is not ho-hum or lukewarm, you are in a spiritual battle for your soul with a narcissist. And ultimately, the only way out is to let go of this false self and this false source, who was never the healer of your wounds. They're the messenger of them, because they smash them up into full consciousness, to let them go and to do the inner work, to let go of your trauma. You know, and this is why this is an anxiety trauma conference, because it's the trauma is, and it's the old trauma that was already there that we may not have realized. Let go of our trauma, connect to true source, which is our higher power, our superconscious, God, the universe, creation, life force, the true life force, the true source. And when we do that, they become literally irrelevant and we graduate into our true self and our true life. But that's the ultimate journey that we need to make. And it takes acceptance of, you are not going to help and soothe my anxiety. As a child, I was powerless to make that happen. But as an adult, this is my responsibility and I can't hold you responsible. And the more I do, the more anxiety you're going to give me.
Absolutely. And I know that that's a lesson I've really taken to heart in the last few years, is every time I am in an anxious place in relationship, yes, it's because I'm waiting for the other person to make me comfortable. Right.
Oh,
and just like I get quicker and quicker at recognizing it and then realizing that's an inside job.
It's so true. You couldn't have put that better. And until we realize that we can't live life from the outside in, we have to live it from the inside out. Yeah, because it is the definition of powerlessness. It's like if I said to you, Megan, well, my day can't be right because I don't like the background that you've got. I do. I love it, by the way. But, you know, I feel anxiety until you change your background. You know, well, then I've just handed my power to you. And, you know, it's human nature to not change to fix somebody else. And in fact, it can never happen because then there'll be another thing and another thing and another thing. But, you know, that's just a simple example of it.
Okay. So how do we recognize the patterns and what's going on in a relationship with a narcissist, whether that be our boss at work, our romantic relationship, a parent? How do we recognize that? And then how do we shift out of that and out of this state and this kind of cycle of anxiety?
It's a really good question. You start feeling like things don't add up. Right? You start double guessing yourself and questioning yourself. And it's almost like I've said to people, this person and what they're doing, let's just say you detach from that and this wasn't your relationship and somebody came to you and said, this is what's going on. You would look at that and you would say, that's actually abusive. But because you're in there and the fog of this spiritual war is happening, a narcissist are very, very, very good at projection. They won't agree with your boundaries. They step on your toes metaphorically. You say, ouch, the narcissist is never going to agree with your ouch. They'll minimalize you and tell you that you're wrong, that you're imagining things, that that's not what they said, that that's not what happened. And you're not used to this. You know, because people that don't have massive defense mechanisms can go, oh, look, I'm sorry. And, you know, I didn't mean that. And they care for you. So you start questioning yourself and you, am I crazy? Am I wrong? And they will wear you down and they will also train you into submission because they will use threats around love, approval, survival, and security, either implied or actually stated, that if you don't agree with their narcissistic narrative things, and if you don't drop your boundaries, your values, and your rights, they will hover over you all the time. You're going to lose even more love, approval, survival, and security. So you are acquiescing into tyranny without knowing it. So what does that mean? What does that feel like? You start feeling anxious. You might be bursting into tears. You feel anxiety. You may be having panic attacks. You're finding it hard to have social presence in the world and feel normal. Your eating might be thrown off. You can't sleep. You start questioning yourself. And when you're in a conversation with a narcissist where you're just really trying to show up to get some safety and some compassion and empathy and care, and they twist and turn and project and go off topic and they do all the things that they do, you will feel like you're losing your mind. That's how you know.
I was going to say, so that becomes pretty clear, right? But, and I think also people, please confirm, but if you can, or if I'm wrong, please tell me. But like, I feel like most of the time, if you're asking yourself, am I crazy? Like, you're not crazy. Yeah. You're actually not. You're very much not crazy. Crazy people don't question whether or not they're crazy. What you're really saying is like, something is out of alignment here and something is not matching up with like my integrity and the way that I want to be in relationship in the world. And that's what your brain turns it into is, am I crazy? Because the fact that you've gotten yourself into this situation is actually impossible for you. You're like, this can't be true.
That is 1,000,000% correct. You just bang on. And just to extrapolate that a little bit, narcissists don't, that's not going through their head. Am I crazy? Because narcissists, there are no self. They've actually completely thrown their true self to the side. They've created a fictitious character, an ego construct of who they want to be. And it's an insatiable character that's never happy, can never be wrong, very fragile, and will defend itself literally to the death. It will lose everything to maintain itself. So this construct is actually very, very comfortable in drama. It's a dark entity. It's comfortable for, you know, when you're in communication with a narcissist and you are trying to hold them accountable or get some sense, they couldn't care less about the conversation, about the details. All they want to do is incite you into a trigger to get your emotional response to actually project back on you, to blame you and demonize you and say, well, there you go. I've got my vindication. It's you that's the problem, because I will. So they're not going, am I crazy? They're going, I'm right. And look at you. You're so messed up. You're wrong. But for us, because we're not a dark entity, we are very, very uncomfortable and shattered in this dark battle, in this battle for our soul.
Yeah,
they've already foregone their soul.
I'm glad that you stated it that way. And the other thing that I thought of while you were talking is what you said earlier about, you know, boundaries, values, and rights. And a lot of what that reminds me of also is in spiritual communities, when people are asking for all their kind of autonomy and just the surrender in spiritual communities that happens. And a lot of them, not all of them, I'm definitely not like condemning spirituality, but we all know the ones, the cults and things with charismatic personalities as leaders.
Totally.
They're always narcissists.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of the worst kind, they're psychopaths.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And how all the things you were saying were describing, you know, when you tie those to God or spirituality or a higher power, as you were pointing out earlier, if you tie all that into that, oh, it's just, it's terrible and it feels awful and the anxiety is unimaginable. Yeah.
Exactly. And because you're in this cognitive dissonance, because your inner self is always trying to lead you towards true source, true self, your true soul. And if anything's out of whack with that, it messes with you so badly. And that's anxiety. Yeah. And really what anxiety is, it's not safe to be in my body. It's not safe to be in life.
Right. And in fact, it's your inner intuition, if you will, that led you, if we're talking about spirituality, down this seeking path, and then you run into a narcissist or a cult leader, and then your nervous system is going to protest because it's all in such conflict to what you were actually seeking. So it's trying to tell you and trying to send up all the alarm bells, and maybe panic attacks start to let you know that you're not safe and that you're not on the path that you thought you were on.
Exactly. And if any spiritual master is telling you that you're defective, you're broken, you need to acquiesce to them to get better, then they are absolutely exploiting and mining you for narcissistic supply. You know, a true spiritual master should be somebody who's saying to you, you're incredible, you're amazing, we can unlock you for you to be the greatest, most expanded, vibrant, healthy, empowered person you can be, to the point where you don't need me. That's what a master does, is create other masters, not disciples.
My stomach just like loosened when you said all of that. That felt nice. I hope people hear that.
And our bodies know that's the point. When you're told something and something inside is going, ick, you know that's not resonating with your true self.
So this is a good point to kind of transition into how triggers work and how they produce anxiety in your body.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and they do. So a trigger goes off. And what happens in a trigger is you're going into cortisol and adrenaline. Now, immediately, that's putting your amygdala into action. The survival part of your brain fires up. And when that happens, all energy will drain out from your frontal cortex, from your frontal part of your brain, which is solutions. And that's, you know, healthy connection to solutions and wisdom. So the thing is, when we're in an adrenaline rush, we're actually very dumb. And I'm just going to be really straight and honest with people. It's highly effective because blood rushes to your limb. Well, this is what happens when you have a cortisol rush of a trigger. You go into fight, flee, or freeze. Now, that's really effective when you've got a wild animal racing at you. You're either going to pick up a big stick and fend it off, you're going to run up a tree, or you're going to freeze and act dead so it doesn't eat you. But when we're trying to work in our real everyday life with a manipulative person, it's not helpful at all. And what happens in our trigger is we actually regress back to that wounded part of ourselves. So a big trigger for me used to be abandonment. A narcissist could walk out the door and I would literally be hanging onto their ankles, hyperventilating, nearly vomiting and pleading. Now, what I discovered when I worked with what I discovered how to heal, Quantum Freedom Healing and NARP, inside of me was a three-year-old little girl who had gone through a horrible thing at a party where my parents were and I was abused. And I ran out to them and they were drinking by a fire with a whole lot of people. And I was at them to help me and they just kept pushing me away drinking. So I had, now I'd forgotten all of that, you know, but it was that wound inside of me when I felt traumatized and violated and then abandoned in that would be fully reactivated. And I put my hand up. I used to throw myself on the bonnet of the car of these men trying to drive away from me. And I'm an intelligent, smart, clever woman. And I would be thinking, it was like I'd be watching myself by remote. And I thought, if I went to a psychologist, I'd be diagnosed as histrionic. There's no two ways about it. But I could not stop myself behaving like that until I finally turned within and got rid of that. Well, I released the trauma and replaced it with true source, which is what my healing does. And then that injured three-year-old wasn't there anymore. She was healed up. So the next time somebody tried that on me, I'd be like, okay, well, shut the door on your way out. Because rather than you abandon me, I will never self-abandon me. I'm with me. You can leave.
Absolutely. I love that. I just wanted to like stop and not say anything because it's so true, right? You can't be abandoned if you're always secure in yourself.
And here it is, you know, like I knew my abandonment wound. I kind of had an idea there was stuff in my past, but you know, I knew conceptually everything about it. What abandonment and, you know, and what it did to me and how I needed to self-parent in those times, blah, blah, blah. I knew it all. And yet, and I realized even if I'd found that wound but hadn't released it, the energy of it, because our trauma programs and the program was, you know, if I'm violated and you leave me, I feel like I'm dying and I can't survive. So if that got triggered off, and narcissists worked it out, they're incredible how they work that stuff out, what pushes your buttons to the max. And that's what they keep using to smash you with, to make you submit and hand over power so they can control you more. So of course that was the target. So it wasn't until, rather than trying to get him to stop doing that, which he was never going to do, my whole spiritual graduation lesson was to let go of making him responsible for it, turn inwards to fully heal myself on it, and take responsibility to self-partner and heal up that part of myself to wholeness. Then he no longer had any power over me. And moving forward into relationship, I don't have people who abandon me anymore because I no longer have that inner love code of the people I love abandon me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and relationships end or they change or they resolve, but like two adults come together and have conversations, heartfelt conversations about that, right? They don't go through abandonment and seeking and all of this kind of like toxic behavior, right?
Yeah.
And speak to me just a little bit, if you will, about how, because I just recently had an experience like this, and it wasn't necessarily with a narcissist, but it was very much like trauma and anxiety related, where I went through all of the stages, but within like 36 hours, And it was very surprised by the whole thing. And I really related to when you said, when your amygdala fires up, you just become dumb. Because here I am, I host these conferences. I have all the access to resources, teachers, writers, like all of the tools at my disposal. And I might as well have been a rock on the side of the road. I was like, I have access to nothing. I don't know anything. Like, and it's funny now, but then I was like, what in the heck of all the people I should know? And I just had to be really gentle with myself and remember that, like, exactly. That's a sophisticated system at work that I'm not in control of, and it will pass and I will get my rational brain back again. And I'm just going to let my self-protective features kind of do their work and rest here and integrate. And then it will all come back to me.
And Megan, I love that, because here is a humble, honest teacher. And going back to that whole guru status and stuff, you know, and I really want everybody in the audience to know, unless, you know, a teacher is humble and honest and says, well, I'm human, because what we teach is what we most need to learn and heal within ourselves. And that's the perfection of it. But it's interesting you said that, because, you know, I don't know if anybody out there is into astrology or whatever, but we've had eclipses and alignments that have brought up a lot of people's stuff. So you're right. The last 36 hours, I can't tell you how many people it's been huge. And I actually had a massive trigger as well with a relationship in my life that threw me into my amygdala. And, you know, and I was dumb too, you know. And when we're showing up, which brings us to a beautiful, perfect point, because when we're showing up in a trigger and we're trying to hold something outside of ourselves responsible for our trigger, they don't give us our healing. They will give us more evidence of the unhealed trigger, which is bringing us back to the realization of the seed of our own power. I am the generative source of my own experience. And if I want to change my life, I need to change myself, because at the subconscious level, our programming, and we're always unprogramming and healing, and it gets better and better and better. And these get less and less and less, because we are self-partnered, taking responsibility and living our life from the inside out. And I love that. I wouldn't be alive if I didn't take that path, and possibly you wouldn't either. So, but the point is, 95% of our life by the time we're 30 years of age is running off our subconscious programs. So how we feel comes, how we feel on any topic in our life, our thinking will be in alignment with it, even if we try to think ourselves out of it. The people we choose, the situations we participate in, and the people who choose us are going to be a match for our inner love code, our interpersonal code. The people I love abandon me. The people I love reject me. The people I love, whatever it is, they are the people you're going to be attracted to and who are going to be attracted to you. So this is the big thing about narcissists. They are that massive soul lesson of whatever you haven't healed is going to be a hugely impactful mirror coming straight at you, triggering you off into everything that we can heal, that they never will.
And that's a great point for us to also transition into kind of what self-partnering is, what that looks like. And also I'm so aware of, you know, once that realization comes, like you said, we imagine it. And I think we see it often depicted as like somebody decides, like, I'm going to walk into the woods and figure myself out, or I'm going to end this relationship. And we see them packing up their car, and then it's like over. There's no difficulty from that point forward, right? And that self-partnering process is you're tested over and over and over again, right? Which is why it's so vital. Finally. So I'd love it if you could kind of describe that and what it looks like.
Yeah, I'd love to. Self-parenting is kind of like the old paradigm. And that's like you're trying to talk yourself out of something, and you're trying to be like a wise parent that stands in for the broken inner child that's triggered. And I know from my own experience and working with, you know, people for the last 15 years, so many people, when you're in a massive trigger and you're in an amygdala rush, forget it. Because it's that conscious part of you that's trying to self-parent. It's 5% of your power, and 95% of you is hijacked. That's why you just can't stop yourself breaking no contact. You can't stop yourself doing the things you're doing that you know are going to hurt you, but you just can't stop doing them. So self-partnering, and I kind of coined that phrase, and then Emma, what's her name from Harry Potter, she kind of took it on and claimed it as her own. But and it was interesting because all the search engines were saying, well, this came from Ellie Tony Robbins, and then they changed it to her. I don't care. But anyway, self-partnering, we do it with Quantum Freedom Healing. So what it is it's, well, is two parts to it. And the first part is to talk to yourself like a beautiful child you adore. And, you know, so we're not abandoning and we're not rejecting. And, you know, when I first was confronting my anxiety to heal it, and I realized this, I would say to myself, Melanie, I love you, sweetheart. I'm here. I know how much you're hurting. I'm never leaving you again. I love you as you are. We're going to work this out, sweetheart. You know, so my self-talk before that had been atrocious. It was like I was trying to shame and blame myself in health constantly. So I realized that my inner child, on so many wounds, not just a three-year-old, she wasn't waiting for that toasted cheese sandwich or 100 cigarettes or, you know, three bottles of Bacardi or, you know, some nasty person to have sex with. She wanted me. So, you know, and when we self-abandon and we're not self-partnering and we're blaming and shaming, our anxiety is so bad. And then we make choices that will match the vibrational frequency of the trauma, which is really bad choices. And then we just get more anxiety because we're damaging ourselves and hating ourselves more for the stuff we're doing. So it's a vicious circle. So I realized all of that. So I started turning into her. I just had to really pull myself up and treat her like a little girl I adored. And oh, and immediately, even in, and Megan, I had, which, you know, other listeners might, I had a psychotic breakdown to the level where I had that much brain damage and also adrenal malfunction. I was told I would never recover and I would need three antipsychotics to even stand up and put one foot after the other. But it was so interesting. Even before Quantum Freedom Healing, I wasn't healed, but my psychotic episode stopped just from me showing up for me, for my inner child. So, and I didn't take any antipsychotics and they stopped because she had been screaming for me, not the cheese sandwich, the cigarettes, the alcohol, the Netflix. Okay, so that's the point. Now, from there, that's not the full answer. But that immediately can give your inner child, oh, my God, thank God you've heard me, you're here, right? I can stop screaming my head off because you're not coming. And then from there, through quantum tools and specifically Quantum Freedom Healing, we have a visualization process with energetic imprints in it, which I finally found after 18 months of healing the unhealable, where we go inside, we load up all the trauma from your subconscious compartments, we let it go, which feels like, oh my God, I just let that go. And then we bring in the source light, which is our higher consciousness, higher self, God, whatever you want to call it, that higher power, to feel where that was. And it heals what we can't heal. It'll reset you to peace. So rather than you've got that obsession and that anxiety and that post-traumatic stress disorder, it's like all of a sudden, it's like, I just have peace. I'm not thinking about that. I feel different, even though nothing out there has changed yet. But it's actually quantum law. So within, so without, whatever you are as the generative, energetic experience of your life, when you get better, it all gets better. You make better choices. You have better stuff in the synchronicity miracle, in the oneness of your inner universe connected to your outer universe, that starts coming into focus and starts coming into your life. And the self-partnering part, which I love, is because when you finally valued your soul, which is your inner child, when you have finally valued that connection to God, which is through your inner child and your soul, all of a sudden the switch gets flipped, where life and others now also are on the trajectory of, you've got that true self, true source thing going on. Now it and they can bring support as well.
Mm. And what I'm thinking also while you're talking is that even if you don't, I had a friend who had an extremely traumatic childhood and had 15 missing years, just no memories, yes. Right?
Wow, huge. And that's so common.
And I'm thinking about people like that who don't necessarily have like the specific memories or even sense of a memory, but they know that there's a hole there and that they've got some anxiety. But what they are really clear about is that their needs weren't met. Right. Yes. And so what I'm thinking is when your needs are consistently not met, yes. is that you abandon yourself because what you've felt and kind of been taught is that your needs don't matter. And so when you're thinking about exactly. like self-partnering and thinking yeah. about your inner child parts and what they need, yep. it can often be a total blank, right? Like yeah. I don't have needs because they don't matter. They're not of value. They're not important exactly. enough for me to even spend time with. But they are there and they very much are making noise and they very much do need your attention and your,
yeah.
You know, emotional support, right?
So true. And behavior comes from belief. So it's the trauma that's creating the belief of my needs aren't important and nobody's coming and there's no support. And that was huge for me as well. Exactly that. And then what happens is you have the experiences in life where you're choosing the people who don't have the resources or the desire to match your belief. So the story continues and we think it's happened to us from the outside. But it's actually a program that's going on in the inside because that's what we're attracted to and who's attracted to us. Now, what I love about Quantum Freedom Healing and when you actually work with the true source energy is we have so many people never had it modeled for them, never experienced it, probably haven't for lifetimes, quite frankly. But what happens is when those traumas of everything we're discussing or everything that hurts or everything that has given us anxiety, when we just keep letting go of what hurts, because it's going to trigger and your body's telling you this isn't meant to be here. That's what the trigger is. So when you turn inwards rather than trying to self-medicate it from outwards and you just release the trauma and bring in source, and this shocked me and stunned me in the most beautiful way with Quantum Freedom Healing, I became who I organically am, which is a fractal of source who is whole, who knows how to honor and value myself and show up in ways that are whole and self-generative and honest and authentic with integrity, and I could get my needs met. And this is what we discover in our community all the time, you know, when I'm doing like our group work and in the NARP program and in our beautiful global forum, and people saying, but I don't know what true love is. I don't even know what a boundary is. And we just keep saying to them, yeah, look, we've got all the information with the training of this, but this is a supplement. Once you lose all of your trauma about having your boundary smashed and you feel with source, your natural organic essence and self comes online. You already are what you seek. You already are. And when the trauma goes, it just happens. And it really does.
Absolutely. Well, I'm convinced. And I want to let other people know as they're listening how they can find out more about you and your program.
Yeah, well, look, I'd love you to, because the thing is, I'm so passionate about, let's get past the old paradigm of I'm just going to try and manage my anxiety. Let's up level way beyond it where you just don't have it. You know, that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to thrive, not just survive. And that's what my work's about. So I would love, people can come over to melanietoniaevans.com. And there's a whole heap of free resources there that you can look at. But also too, I have a two-part masterclass, which has a free healing in it, deeper explanations about all of this. And you'll come out of it with clarity, hope, and power with grace. So you can go to recoverhealthrive.com. And all of those resources are free. And for people that you're really ready to heal and get going and want to be a part of our incredible Thriver family and community, we've dealt with everything, whether it's your co-parenting, smearing, stalking, being replaced. We've seen it all and we've healed people through it all. So that's melanietonyevans.com/NARP, N for Nelly, A-R-P. That's my core signature healing program.
Fantastic. Melanie Tony Evans, thank you so much for being with us.
Megan, it's always a joy. Thank you.